Once upon a time, there were four little rabbits.
How old are you, Johnny? She asked.
16.
We few, we happy few, we band of brothers.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
A wise old king once said, "Of the making of books, there is no end." How true today. Of the overabundance of writing published each year, what's worth reading? The answer is simple. Read only the best. Come join the discussion on Just the Best Literature.
Hello again, everyone. Thanks for listening in today. Well, I want to jump right back into our 60-plus panel discussion of Winston Churchill's women. Now, what I mean by that is not that he was a womanizer, but these are the women that were most influential in his life. And we already talked about his mom, Jenny Jerome. And again, there is some really great things about her. She was a very dynamic woman. But then, her own personal life was kind of tragic. And we'll talk about her a little bit more today as we go on and talk about how she died and all that. But if you remember from the last program, we were just beginning to talk about Mrs. Everest and how she was Winston Churchill's nurse. And, of course, her parents were, his father was, very much into politics, and his mom, Jenny Jerome, was very much into the social scene that they were in. They really did live a high life and actually almost went broke at one point. They were spending so much money on their own life. And, of course, we also mentioned last time that they really did neglect Winston, as a young boy. They sent him off to boarding school at the age of 7. And but the woman that he always came back to, the woman that he really wanted to, let's say, share his ideas with or share his frustrations with, was Mrs. Everest. And of course, he called her womany or womb, and even that begins to tell you, what she was like for him and how she really loved him. And even as Paul Johnson said, we talked about this last time, that it was her attention and her love for him that really made his life much more happy than it could have been. I mean, it could have been a disaster. And in this book, Churchill, The Power of Words by Martin Gilbert, I have read to you a selection from this before, but I wanted to read a selection that Churchill had his own. He at one point he wrote a novel, and the novel was Savrola, and it was published in about 1900. And in this novel, a lot of the people at the time didn't think it was really as good as some of his other writing. It's like he was experimenting with novel writing. But in this novel, he does talk about there's a hero in the book. It's a military hero. And, of course, he had a nurse that was taking care of him. And the people that literature critics that have read this book feel that this scene that's discussed in the book really comes as a result of how womany or Mrs. Everest really did take care of Winston. And there's a lot of feeling in there. So here's a quote from that book, Savrola. And this is where the man who is wounded and is being taken care of by his nurse is talking about her. It says, his thoughts were interrupted by the entrance of the old woman with a tray. He was tired, but the decencies of life had to be observed. He rose, passed into the inner room to change his clothes and make his toilet. When he returned, the table was laid. The soup he had asked for had been expanded by the care of his housekeeper into a more elaborate meal. She waited on him, plying him the while with questions and watching his appetite with anxious pleasure. She had nursed him from birth up with a devotion and care which knew no break. It is a strange thing, the love of these women. Perhaps it is the only disinterested affection in the world. The mother loves her child. That is maternal nature. The youth loves his sweetheart. That too may be explained. The dog loves his master. He feeds him. A man loves his friend. He has stood by him, perhaps at doubtful moments. And all there are reasons, But the love of a foster mother for her charge appears absolutely irrational. It is one of the few proofs, not to be explained even by the association of ideas, that the nature of mankind is superior to mere utilitarianism, and that his destinies are high. The light and frugal supper finished, the old woman departed with the plates, and he fell to his musings again. And so you can see that he really is talking about Mrs. Everest and how she took care of him. And even Johnson, says on page 9 of his book that even when he was still a schoolboy, he was very concerned about her. His parents had just dismissed her, and she had been a servant, for most of his childhood. And when they dismissed her, of course, she could really go into poverty. And so even as a schoolboy, he did his best to, send her money when he could afford to. He also went to see her on her deathbed. She died of diphtheria. He took his brother Jack with him to her funeral. He had set up and paid for her headstone, and he also paid for a local florist to ensure that her grave was kept up. And so even Johnson believes that when Winston, got into politics, he even started the welfare program in England because of poor servants like Mrs. Everest. And so he really did have a lot of feeling for her. And so, dear, did you have anything else you wanted to say about Mrs. Everest?
Well, that was basically what I could have said, yes.
Oh, so I took it out of your...
Yes, you did.
I'm very sorry. I took it away from you.
That's okay.
Okay, so let's move on now. Let's talk about the love of his life. Let's talk about his wife. And some say Clementine, some say Clementine. So we'll have to decide. I want to do Clementine. You can do Clementine if you want.
Yes, it's hard for me. But the book says that I read by Sonia Purnell. It's a biography of the life of Winston Churchill, and she says it's pronounced Clementine, and I've never heard that before. So we'll try to do that then.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yes.
Let's talk about her. She is really an interesting character.
She's an interesting character. What I think is fascinating is that her childhood and Winston's childhood in some ways are similar in that they both had difficult childhoods. They both had parents who were either non-existent or just did not pay attention to them. And her mother, Clementine's mother, was Blanche Hosier, Lady Blanche Hosier, and she was well known for her infidelities. And it's said that she may have had as many as 10 lovers at one time. The person who was supposed to be her father, Colonel Henry Hosier, was probably not her real father. Most people believe it was not her real father, and she was actually frightened of him. So she was not close to her mother, and she was frightened of the man who was supposedly her father. But eventually, they were divorced and separated. So he wasn't even in her life. But she was very, because of this, she was very shy. And she had an older sister who was more outgoing, and her mother obviously preferred Kitty and was her favorite. But Kitty really loved Clementine, and that was her stability. Was her sister was Clementine there for a long time?
Yeah, that is really kind of interesting, because even Paul Johnson brings out that one time, it appears that even Winston's mother had about 9 lovers at one time, and I think even Winston was aware of it, that she was doing this, and one thing I think that Manchester brings out is that this was just kind of common among the aristocratic families.
Yes, yes.
And so I guess in some ways you can see how some of the nobility's kids kind of have wrecked lives, and they're not necessarily the most moral people in the world either.
Yes.
So it is kind of amazing. But you could see that would be an advantage to their marriage, though. because they both came from the same background, so they would understand each other.
That's true, yes. And they both kind of rose above their difficulties and
right.
and came out of it. And because Clementine was really, she was very shy, but later on in her life, you know, she really had a love of new things, just like Winston did. And so that
right.
was one of the things that attracted them to each other. And so she really came out of herself that way. But she, when she was a child, she was shy. So that's interesting.
Let me just read page 27 of the Paul Johnson book. You can just follow along. It's not a very, very long quote. But I thought this was, this statement really stood out to me when I was reading this. Page 27, and this is the very second paragraph, he says, "The marital fidelity of the Churchills was a remarkable fact, for the way the commons works tend to erode vows on both sides. Then, too, both parties had promiscuous mothers. Lady Blanche Hosier, daughter of the Earl of Arley, had many lovers while her husband was still alive, 9 at one time. And of course, you just said 10, it was said. Clemmy was not Hosier's daughter, but there is no certainty who her father was. The most likely candidate was a flirtatious cavalry officer, Bay Middleton. But another possibility was Bertram Mitford, 1st Baron of Reedsdale, Nancy Mitford's grandfather. If so, it's curious to think that Mrs. Churchill was her aunt. Jenny Churchill also had a number of lovers while Lord Randolph was still alive, and they may have even included Middleton." So, you know, it just looks like here, when you really think about Winston Churchill, and of course I'm studying more about Clementine, it's amazing that they rose above their backgrounds. And really, she helped him during World War II tremendously. You know, was his backing and support. And they saved the Western world, essentially.
Yes.
It was a team.
It was a team.
It was a great you know, a great effort. He goes on to say, "After Lord Randolph's death, she had more and then made two marriages to younger men before having one of her falls through wearing ultra-high heels, which led to mortification, amputation of her leg, and her death."
Yes, yes, right. So she died because of wearing high heels.
She died because of wearing yes. high heels. So that tells you a lot about Winston's mother. But let's keep going on with Clementine. So what else do you know there about Mrs. Winston Churchill?
Well, so she had her stability in her life was her sister Kitty. You know, they had a good relationship when they really kind of clung to each other, because they had some difficult times when they were put in. At one time, they were put in a boarding school situation where there was corporal punishment, which has happened a lot in England at that time. And so they were in different rough situations. They also were moving a lot because after her mother was divorced and they didn't have any money, and so they were always moving from one place to another, and so they learned to like Clementine had to make her own clothes, she had to sew, things like that, but still her mother was conscious of them having the right look, you know, to be, because they were supposedly, you know, the aristocrats, but yet they didn't have any money, so it was difficult. But then her sister Kitty died, and she died of typhoid, it looks like, when she was only not quite 17. So that was difficult for her. But then what happened was her mother eventually put her and her much younger sister in a grammar school, where it was a grammar school where merchants' daughters and doctors' daughters and basically middle class kind of people were going to school, and she loved it there. So she loved the teachers. They were very supportive, and she loved the education and the learning. She really excelled at that. So that was really, she went from difficult to time to really enjoying that. In fact, when she was older, she would still go back to that school, and even after she was married to Winston and in the public service, she would go back and give them, you know, honors and talk to them about things. So
yes. Yeah. So it is kind of fascinating that who else had trouble at school?
Winston, yes. Winston yes.
And the same thing, the heavy discipline and the, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. the beatings. I know mm-hmm. that the movie Young Winston that sometimes will show parts of it in class that, you know, there's one part where he's beaten so much that it's really Mrs. Everest discovers it. And then, you know, it was just brutal. It was the brutal, the bruising and the cuts, you know, and the infection that you get from these beatings. And so, you know, those were tough times for kids. And, you know, I know that Charles Dickens has a good way of describing some of those times. So I know right now it's like we live in this society where you worship kids. That certainly wasn't that at that time. And, of course, look at the disaster in our countries. I mean, we certainly don't need to be abusing children, but we could be probably a little more strict in, you know, getting them to grow up a little quicker instead of having, we now have 30 and 40-year-old children, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, still not doing, you know, what they should be, you know, learning about life. So, you know, there for a while, I don't know how much we want to talk about this, but there for a while, I mean, Winston Churchill was a bachelor. He was happy to be bachelor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was very driven, you know, to do politics. But I guess we'd have to say that Clementine really got to him.
Yes, well, she really loved politics as well. When they met each other, there was an excitement meeting of the minds there because she was different than the other girls that he had would dance with because she had come from a different kind of background, and so she had something to talk about. She had a different mind, and she was really excited about politics, and so he like the book says, he delighted in his marriage. He was a happy man. Yes. When they did get married.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit of the book that, the later one. I forget her name. What is her name that she just, you have it right there across the table. I can't even see it. We're in the studio. Oh, Sonia Purnell's book. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was reading that. Mm-hmm. And what's really kind of fascinating about her is she loved him very much. And I think she knew her place. I mean, she knew her role, maybe I should say it that way, and that she didn't try to compete with him. You know, she didn't try and, you know, steal the starlight or the light like her mother probably would have done. Not her mother, but his mother would have done. And but she wasn't afraid of him, was she?
No, she really had her own opinions, strong opinions, and sometimes they would fight about it, but he, you know, she knew that he was the one. It was his job, you know, and so she would support him, but they would definitely have differences of opinion. But he did listen to her. He did, and she there were some times when I guess you read it in a book somewhere where, and I read somewhere where he she actually helped him. I don't know if I have this right here. I was just reading that where. I don't know where I
is it. Are you talking about the time over the, you know, his problem with the Dardanelles?
Well, it was. I have written somewhere where in fact it was this lady Sonia Purnell found this found a memo or a letter where she wrote to Winston and said that he needed to get people on his side.
Right.
That he was being too confrontational, and he needed to get people on his side, and he listened to her.
Yeah.
So yes.
Yeah, but there was one. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, he really took a lot of hits for the what happened at the Dardanelles, and I guess that was in World War I, and they finally had done a full report on it that would exonerate him, but you know, it's like today there's so much public opinion that thought he was just did it wrong that, you know, they didn't know if people would accept the report or not, and then some of the liberal thinking people didn't want the report published, and Winston was going to go ahead and charge and try and publish it himself, And she wrote to him and says, look, Winston, you need to listen to me here. Don't you do that. Don't you publish it on your own. She says, just wait and be patient. She says, eventually it will come out, and then you'll be exonerated. So you know, I think that is the kind of strength that every husband needs, that a woman says, look, I know my role as a wife is to support you, but look, don't do stupid things.
Right.
You know?
Yes. Right. You know, so. That's part of the role as a wife is, yeah, part of supporting. There was one other interesting tidbit about her. Also, just shows the kind of character she had, the kind of strength she had. Is that she was almost kidnapped by her father Hozier at one point. This is when she was about 15 or 16. And they had been separated from him for years, and she was afraid of him. But there was a situation where she, I guess, went and had dinner with him, but her servant was nearby, and she realized at one point that he was going to do something. So she managed to get away. She escaped. So it was a rather physical thing, and she was able to escape. But then there was another time after they were married, after she and Winston were married, and they were in a crowd, and I don't know if you read this or not, but somehow he got pushed into a train was coming, and she managed to pull him out by his shirt tails. They said she could rise to the occasion. I forget where that says that. There was like rising to the occasion, I think, something like that. So she could do that. So she was quick thinking and strong that way as well.
Yeah, here's what Johnson says about her. He says, talking about their love for each other. He says, in August 1908, he proposed to Clementine Hozier, daughter of the late Colonel Sir Henry Hozier, Secretary of Lloyds. Other girls had set their caps at him, including Asquith's daughter, Violet, and some of them had substantial dots. But Clemmy, and so you know, it's like his dating book, you know, who's got the big dots, I guess. But he goes on to say, but Clemmy suited him and he loved her. He always put happiness before money. Anyway, he never had any doubt he could earn anything required. As he lay down, income should be expanded to meet expenditure. They were quickly married at St. Margaret's, Westminster, Parliament's Parish Church, in September, and the event was not allowed to crowd out political activities. His best man was the fiercest English political tribe, Lew Hugh Cecil, head of the Tory ultra-pressure group known as the Hooligans. And in the vestry, while the registers were being signed, Churchill had time to have a plotting whisper with LG, that's Lord George. He used the honeymoon to complete and dispatch the printers his African book. So they were a working couple. Says, among all the 20th century ruling elites, the Churchills must be judged to have had the most successful marriage. It can be said with reasonable certitude that each was totally faithful to the other. She devoted herself completely to her remarkable husband, gave him much good, usually liberal advice, which was not always taken, comforted him in many of his career mishaps, and calmed him down when he was triumphant. She says, he always insists I am by him, and then promptly forgets my existence. So it sounds like she could be as funny as he was. But again, they did seem to have trouble with their own children. And there was a lot of kind of heartaches and sad things that happened, you know, with their children. Marigold died in infancy. And then, some of the other daughters have committed, I think at least one of the other ones committed suicide. And so, but I mean, when your father is saving Western civilization, you know, it's going to have an effect probably on the kids, you know.
Yes,
so.
And also, from what I read and I was reading in this book, in Sonia Purnell's book, is that she may not have been the best mother either.
Right.
Yeah, that she, but think about what kind of a role model does she have in her own mother.
Right, that's right.
So she may have had some difficulties there, and he was not always around with the children, but when he was a good father.
Good father,
yes.
Right. Wow. We're out of time for today's program. So next time, we're going to continue our series, and we'll be talking about Winston Churchill's political career. So remember, this book It's titled Churchill by Paul Johnson. You can find his book on Amazon for about $14 for Prime members. You can also find a used copy of the book for around $6 at abebooks.com. And so please write me any comments you may have to jbl@pcrg.org. You can follow JBL on Twitter at jbliterature1. You can also follow JBL on Facebook. Simply search for Just the Best Literature. And remember, you can leave me a comment at Facebook. So until next time, keep reading.
You've been listening to Just the Best Literature on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG, streaming online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.